Our scripture reading this morning will come from four different places. The first place is from Exodus chapter 16. The verses 24 through 30. Exodus chapter 16, the verses 24 through 30. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The second scripture reading will be from Exodus chapter 20. And I'll be reading the verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, the verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The third scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 23, the verses 10 through 12. Exodus chapter 23, the verses 10 through 12. For 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well, may be refreshed. And finally this morning, let us read Exodus chapter 31, the verses 12 through 18. Exodus chapter 31, the verses 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the 2 tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from the book of Exodus. This is not the first time. This is not the second time. This is not the third time. But our passage before us in Exodus chapter 31 is the fourth time. The fourth time that God gives to his people instructions concerning the Sabbath in the book of Exodus. Three other places God gives to his people instructions. And now as we come to Exodus chapter 31, once again, God gives to us instructions. In Exodus 16, God tells us in the context of the giving of the manna that they must rest on the seventh day. In Exodus 20, God, in the context of the Ten Commandments, instructs the people to rest on the seventh day. In Exodus 23, in the context of the civil laws of Israel, God tells the people to take the seventh year off and to have their slaves and their servants and their animals rest on the seventh day. And now as we come to our passage in Exodus chapter 31, the question is, what does God have to say to us that he has not already said? Clearly, God has instructed the people and has instructed us concerning the Sabbath, the importance of it, and what the people are to do. And now as we come to Exodus 31, does it seem to us perhaps that God is just saying everything he has already instructed us again? Or does God have something else to teach us, something else that he has still not told us that we must know and that we must understand concerning the Sabbath? Well, the only way that we can determine that is to compare our text in Exodus 31 with the other passages in which God instructs the people concerning the Sabbath. When God gave manna to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16, God introduced to them the practical responsibility of the Sabbath. They would have food on 6 days, and on the sixth day they were to gather double the food so that there would be no food on the seventh day. In Exodus 20, God instructs the people concerning the moral law, the Ten Commandments that God has given the people to keep. And within those Ten Commandments, God instructs the people to rest on the seventh day. 6 days I created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day I rested. And in Exodus 23, God is instructing the people concerning the rest of his servants, the rest of his land, the rest of the animals that he has given the people, so that the people will not work themselves to death, but that they will always remember that the land is the Lord's, that the servants are the Lord's, that the animals are the Lord's, and that they are the Lord's and not of the earth. And so as we look at Exodus 31, there are two things in this passage that God tells us that he has not told us before. And we know that these two things are important because God has told us these things twice in these verses. Two times God mentions these things, and if you know the Hebrew language, you will know that when an author of a Hebrew book wants you to remember something, when he wants to emphasize his point, he tells you twice with the same words. The first thing that God wants us to see in this passage that he has not told us anywhere else comes to us in verse 13. Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come. Notice also verse 17. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, or as some of your translations say, for generations to come. God tells the people in Exodus chapter 31 for the first time that the Sabbath is a sign. Verse 16 helps us understand that it is a sign of God's covenant. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come, as a lasting covenant. Exodus 31 teaches us that the Sabbath is a sign of the Lord, a sign of the covenant between God and his people, that is, it is to be a sign for generations to come. Well, the second thing that God tells us in these verses about the Sabbath that he has not yet revealed to us comes to us in verse 14. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Notice also the end of verse 15. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. For the first time, God reveals to us the penalty for the failure to keep the Sabbath. The penalty for the failure to keep the Sabbath is death. Here in Exodus 31, God tells us two things emphatically twice that he has not told us before about the Sabbath. First of all, that the Sabbath is a sign, a covenant sign that is to be between God and his people for generations to come. And secondly, for anyone who fails to keep the Sabbath and for the nation that fails to keep the Sabbath, they must be put to death. The covenant as a sign, the Sabbath as a sign, and the penalty of the failure to keep that covenant is death. Well, why? Why does God here in Exodus 31 once again begin to tell us about the Sabbath and to tell us these particular things about the Sabbath? Here we've had three other places in the book of Exodus where God has instructed us concerning the Sabbath. And now here, as we've been going through the building of the tabernacle and all the instructions that God gives, all of a sudden we again have instructions concerning the Sabbath. Why didn't God just include all of these instructions together? Why not have one chapter in the book of Exodus which tells us about the Sabbath where all of these things are combined? Why here, at the end of the instructions for the tabernacle, does God tell us these two things about the Sabbath that he has not yet told us before? Well, the answer to that question is found in the last verse of chapter 31 of Exodus, verse 18. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. In Exodus 31, verse 18, God is the concluding, the giving of his covenant. The children of Israel are standing before Mount Sinai. And beginning in Exodus chapter 19, they take vows for this covenant before the Lord. And God proceeds, after they take their vows, to reveal to them all the different aspects of his law. His moral law in Exodus 20. His civil laws in Exodus 21 through 23. His ceremonial law in Exodus 24, all the way into Exodus 31, where we are today. God is making his covenant with his people. God is giving them instructions as to how they should live and as to how they should worship him. And when we come to verse 18 of Exodus 31, this process is completed. Moses is given these two stone tablets, one stone representing the covenant that God has made, and the second stone tablet representing the covenant of the children of Israel. They are together, a covenant between God and his people, two stone tablets written with the very finger of God, given to Moses as he is ready to depart down the mountain. God's covenant is complete. And in Exodus 31, God is concluding the giving of his covenant and what it means for the children of Israel. And as they leave this place, as God concludes his instructions, he gives them a sign. Now, there are signs of the covenant that have already been revealed. God gave to Abraham the sign of circumcision, in which all the households would be identified with the covenant that God had made with Abraham. But now, as God speaks to his people on Mount Sinai, as God renews this covenant and reveals in a fuller way the aspects of God's covenant with Adam and God's covenant with Noah and God's covenant with Abraham, he gives this covenant also a sign. And the sign for the children of Israel, the sign for his people that he has delivered from the land of Egypt, is the Sabbath. The Sabbath, God's covenant sign for his people, revealed to them as the last thing, as the sign and the seal of the covenant that God has made with them on Mount Sinai. And so as we look at this covenant sign, let us take a closer look at the two things that are revealed about this Sabbath that have not been revealed before. And the first thing is in verse 13. Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Holy. They are to keep the Sabbath, this sign between God and his people, so that they will know that he is the Lord and that he makes them holy. You remember that the word holy not only stands for perfect righteousness, which of course God does for his people, but I believe in this context the word holy means set apart. God's people are given this sign of the Sabbath, that 6 days they shall work, and on the seventh day they shall rest, as to demonstrate between God and his people that they belong to him, that they are set apart, that they are different from all the other peoples of the earth because God has given them this sign, because God has made a covenant between them and his people. And as God has given this sign, they are set apart to worship him, to be different from all the other peoples of the earth. When all the other peoples of the earth work 7, 8 days in a row with no day off, with no day of worship, these people will be identified with their Sabbath, with their day of rest, with the covenant God who has made them and who has saved them. Look also at verse 17. Again, it tells us, it will be a sign between me and the Israelites for generations to come. Why? In verse 17, God tells us, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from his work and he rested. God here in verse 17 connects this same covenant sign not only with the fact that his people are set apart and holy, but he connects the Sabbath with their creation, with God's creation from the beginning of the world. The Lord has made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. And so God's people, as they identify with him as his covenant people, as they participate in this covenant that God has made with them, they are to pattern their lives after him. As God has created the world in 6 days and rested, so are they, as God's people, to identify with their Creator. They are to work for 6 days, and they are to rest. That is the sign for generations to come. For generations to come, God's people will identify with the one who has created them and the one who has saved them. As he has created the world and rested, so will they work for 6 days and rest. So will they, as God's people, be set apart as part of his covenant community to identify with him as their God and who he is, as a sign that God has made this covenant with them at Mount Sinai, and they are his. And so as we look at these verses in Exodus 31, and this first point that God has made that makes these verses different from the other parts of the Sabbath that he has revealed, we recognize that this covenant sign is given backwards. It points back to the creation. It points back to the people's identification with God as their creator and Lord. But these verses not only point backwards, they also point forwards. You see, because God tells us twice, in verse 13 and in verse 17, and even in verse 16, that this is to be a sign between me and you for generations to come. Not only for these people who stand before Mount Sinai, but for future generations of God's people as they live under God's covenant, as they identify with Him as their Lord and as their Creator and as their Savior. And as God's people identify with Him in the Old Testament and later in the New Testament. You see, because God is giving these people the Sabbath, God is establishing His covenant with His people, and the sign of this covenant is the Sabbath between Him and His people. And in the New Testament, God sends His Son, and His Son will be declared the Lord of the Sabbath. When His Son comes into this world and He obeys the Sabbath, He is challenged on by what He does. And He does not cancel the Sabbath, but He fulfills the Sabbath, because Jesus is the perfect Sabbath keeper. Jesus is the perfect Son of God who comes to bring rest to His people. Jesus comes and fulfills the Sabbath. Jesus comes and obeys God's law. Jesus comes and dies on the cross in fulfillment of the Sabbath and of this covenant in Exodus. And Jesus brings rest. Sabbath rest. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, the author of Hebrews writes about the Sabbath rest for the people of God. And in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4, he writes, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His." Well, what rest is the author of Hebrews describing? The rest is the eternal rest of God. You see, God created the world in 6 days and then He rested. Someday when God completes this world, when God completes the salvation that He has provided for His people, they will enter rest, eternal rest. The works have been completed. There remains then, verse 9, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Well, what work are we resting from? We are to ask the author of Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews is telling us that the Jesus Christ has done the work. As the perfect Sabbath keeper, as the perfect covenant keeper, as the perfect law keeper, He has done the work. He has done the work so that those who believe in Him as their Lord and as their Savior can rest from their work. Their works of righteousness will not bring them into heaven, but the work that Jesus has perfectly obeyed will bring them into heaven. And the Sabbath rest that remains for the people of God is the eternal Sabbath rest that is for all those who know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. For when they know Him and they believe that He has died on the cross for their sins, and when they know that they rest from their works because their works will not bring them to heaven, Jesus gives them eternal rest. A heavenly home, a heavenly place where God's eternal rest will be for them forever and ever. For just as God has rested, so will all of God's people rest in Him. And so when we look at the Sabbath command in Exodus 31, we look backwards. We look at how God has created the world in 6 days and rested. We also look forward to the eternal Sabbath rest that the author of Hebrews tells us about in Hebrews chapter 4. Rest for all of God's people who rest in Jesus Christ alone and His righteousness, for they're resting in Him. And now, like the Israel of old, we continue to rest in Him in our week. 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh day you shall rest. They rested to identify themselves as part of God's covenant, to identify themselves as part of God's people. Just as God worked 6 days in His creation and rested, so they, as God's people, identify with Him as His people, as members of His covenant, by working 6 days and resting. Just as we identify with our Creator and our eternal rest. When we work for 6 days and rest on the Sabbath, we identify with the creation rest of God as our Creator, and we identify with the eternal rest of God. We identify with the eternal rest that God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. We take that day to worship Jesus Christ and to identify with Him as our Lord and our Savior as we worship Him, as we serve Him, both publicly and privately in our lives. You see, Exodus 31, the first main point of emphasis is that the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant for the Israelites for generations to come. By resting as God commanded, they demonstrate that they are part of God's covenant, that they belong to Him, that they do not belong to the world, but that God has saved them and delivered them, and God has a better place for them, and eternal rest. So it is with us. When we rest on the Sabbath, when we go to worship God, when we spend our Sabbath in the worship both publicly and privately of God, we identify with that Sabbath rest. We identify that God is our Creator, and that He has provided us rest, and that He will provide us eternal rest. For what we do on the Sabbath, on that one day of rest, is what we will do in heaven all the time. Our week is patterned after God's creation. Our week is patterned after our future. Our future rest with God as our Creator. And this is the sign that we belong to Him, that we are set apart, that we are holy. What distinguishes the church from the rest of the world? What distinguished Israel from the rest of the world? That one day in seven, they worshiped the Lord and they rested with Him because they belonged to His covenant, because they were set apart, holy from the rest of the world. But what then of this second main point of emphasis in Exodus 31? What then of this second point that God emphasizes that He has not emphasized anywhere else thus far in the book of Exodus? Anyone who desecrates the Sabbath must be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. Verse 15, whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. Why does God wait until Exodus 31 to tell us the punishment for the Sabbath? Why doesn't God say this when the people pick up their manna? Why doesn't God say this when they break His moral law in the Ten Commandments? Why does God not say this when the people are unfaithful in dedicating their land to the Lord? Because when someone is a covenant breaker, when a people are a covenant breaker, the penalty is death. When Adam partook of the fruit, and he broke the covenant that God made with him in the garden, the penalty was death. When the Israelites are given this covenant, and in the context of the end of this covenant, and God giving the Sabbath as the sign of the covenant, when they do not obey, the penalty is death. Well, what about us? What about this new covenant? Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We as God's people are continued to be told and required to keep His Sabbath. What about the penalty? If we fail to keep this Sabbath, does that mean the elders are going to take us outside and cut us off from God's people and perhaps put us to death? Well, in Exodus 31, God is describing a physical death, because as God's covenant people in that Old Testament day, they were given a physical death. But in the New Testament, the death is far more serious. Because in the New Testament, when God's people fail to keep the Sabbath, when they fail to worship God, when they fail to identify with their Creator and their eternal rest, they will soon suffer spiritual death. When there is no desire to worship God, when there is no desire to prioritize their week and their life after the worship of God and the service to the Lord that is done on the Sabbath, when there is no desire to rest in what Jesus Christ has done for them by worshiping Him on the Sabbath day, there is a great danger that spiritual death is approaching. In Exodus 31, God makes two important points that is not only for the Old Testament Israel, but is for our church today. The first point is that the Sabbath and the worship of God that takes place on the Sabbath is a sign that you belong to His covenant and that you are set apart for Him. The second point is that when you fail to fulfill those commands, when you fail to worship and identify with Him as your Lord and as your Savior and to worship, the penalty is death. It may not be a physical death on this earth, but spiritual death is very near. As we look at these verses this morning, let us ask ourselves, how is our Sabbath keeping? Is our life structured around our Creator? Is our life structured around the future that God has for us, the eternal Sabbath rest that should be our desire on earth every seventh day? Or is our life focused on this earth? Is our life no different from those who are not part of the covenant, those who do not have the sign, those who do not belong to Him? How is your Sabbath keeping? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath and what it means. We thank you, Lord, that we can identify with you as your people when we come to worship you on the Sabbath day, that this day of rest identifies us as part of your covenant, as those who are set apart from the world, because we know Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross, because we know that he has forgiven our sins, that he has completed the work for us, so that even now on this earth, we rest from our works of salvation in him. And Lord, we pray that you would drive each one of us to love your Sabbath, to love and desire to worship you and our Savior because of what he has done, that we would identify on this earth with you and with Jesus. And Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who do not desire this, for those, Lord, who may be falling away, for those, Lord, who may be in danger of spiritual death, we pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would cause them to desire to worship you and identify with your covenant to love their Savior with all that is in them and not this world. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.